of the rock. The consequence of rejecting the rock. I read some books years ago when I first started preaching, pastoring, about the authenticity and the inspiration of the Bible. It was by one book I read was by a Baptist preacher. Criswell was his name, and he wrote a book called Why I Believe the Bible is Literally True. And, I thought everybody believed it, but they don't. Everybody don't believe. Some people believe it's kind of like a dictionary or a Reader's Digest or almanac. But it's not like that. It's the Word of God. The Bible has been canonized as the word they use when the Scripture has been authentically proven. Amen. And it's a miracle. 66 books in the Bible written by 40-some different authors of all kinds of different professions and over a period of thousands of years, and nobody contradicts herself. You think that's a miracle? Huh? That's a miracle. This Bible is a living miracle. This Bible is. What are the odds that a man would fulfill all the prophecies that Christ fulfilled? Amen. It's astronomical. It can't be done. I mean, Christ fulfilled all of these scriptures, and the world just brushes him off. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to brush him off. Do you? I want to serve him. He's a living God. Amen. I want to look in the last few verses of Matthew 21. I'm going to read those to you. Look at verse 42 is where we'll begin. We'll read the rest of this chapter. Amen. Now, probably the reference, if you've got a marginal Bible there that has some information in the margin, you'll see that this scripture where it says, did you never read the scripture? You know, it refers back to Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23. Concerning the chief cornerstone. And Jesus asked them, after he told them the parable about the man that had the vineyard and rented it out and come back to get his portion, and they stoned the servants and they killed his son that he sent back to them. And then Jesus asked them the question, what will this Lord do to these husbandmen that treated the owner of this vineyard, son, so bad? Now listen. I want to ask this. There's something I want us to look at here this morning. We're living in a mindset, a religious mindset. Now listen, that people can disobey and live contrary to the Bible and still go to heaven. Now we are. We don't believe in eternal security, but we live it. I watch our young folks sometimes, and I love our kids. I'm trying my best to help them. But sometimes they grow up little hypocrites. They do things in the dark and fool around and involve themselves in stuff that's not right, and then just get right back in the crowd and shout. Somewhere they've got the idea that they can reject the truth and still go to heaven. But brother, there's a severe consequence to rejecting the Son of God. Now these Pharisees and these chief priests, Jesus pinned it on them. And he said, look at this earthly scenario. Here's a man at a vineyard. He owned it. He planted it. Built a tower. Built a wine press. Everything set up, leased it out on a percentage basis. When he comes back to get his portion, his servants are mistreated and killed, and then he sends his son, and they kill him. Now, he turns it around and says, you tell me what will be the end of this rejection. Well, I'll tell you what will happen. Here's what they said, and they were true. Why, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. These men knew what the judgment would be, but they didn't consider themselves. Now, I want to ask, how do we feel about the results of rejecting Christ, rejecting his word, not loving our brother? Huh? If we interview, well, what'll happen to old neighbor so-and-so if he rejects it? Well, he'll go to hell, burn forever. Well, what about you? What'll happen to you if you reject the truth of the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is serious business. Can somebody say amen? This is serious business. And so I want you to listen. The Lord said that's when he went to this scripture, and he proved to them by the scripture, Psalm 118, whatever it was, he proved to them that it was being fulfilled, and he's got it there. And let me run up here and read it again. But this is a great scripture. And Jesus said, have you not read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? And I went over that with you last Sunday about how a mason and those houses in that area built out of those stones cut out of the quarry and they rejected a stone, tossed it over in the weeds. And when it got down to the end, needed that corner, that final stone, the most important stone of the whole building, and the very one they rejected ended up being the chief cornerstone. Come on now. And then he says this to them. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of heaven shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof. Now I might want to say this before I go into the finish of this lesson here. God help Randy Webb this morning. I tell you what, I do not want to get to that point in my life where God takes from me because I won't be faithful in what he's given me and give to someone else. Now, it ain't worth it, children. How many's with me? How many understands what I'm preaching this morning? Huh? Now, I'm getting ready to point to you the consequence of this rejection. Now, here's what happened. Here's what he did. Amen. He said, God's going to take. Now, he was talking in the Jewish nation. I realize that. But we can apply this to us just as well. And he said, God, and you know God did. God took the blessed promise from them, and the wouldn't bear fruit. The Jewish nation is lost as they can be today. They don't believe in general, in the vast majority, do not believe that Christ Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. Can they be saved without believing that? No. And you and I can't either. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know you're sitting here, and I will preach a little holiness to you this morning, but I'm going to tell you, here's where holiness comes. Now, people took that word holiness, and they've tried to draw it out to make it like a denomination or religion or a church sect or organization. People say, you know, kind of church you go to? Holiness, well, that's, you got holiness and badness, but you know, that's not true. Holiness is the attribute of God Almighty. And that is what he has called us to be. He don't call us to be Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Methodists. I hate to tell you this. Y'all may disagree with me, but when you get to the pearly gates, you're not going to show your Sunday school badge. It's going to be what's in your heart. Now, I'm not against other denominations. I'm not even into that denominational stuff that much. But I'm going to tell you, if somebody in the Baptist, and you heard me tell this before, I went and preached a homecoming, and these homecomings are killing me. I'll just tell you that right now, in more ways than one. But I would preach a homecoming, and these boys was in the church, and they talked their mother into coming. She was a Baptist woman. These boys had got saved in the Holiness Church and raising their families there, and she was still a Baptist. And I guess she thought that I didn't know that. But she came, and and obviously you look at folks that aren't taught and trained and believe holiness, they're not going to look that outward deal, you know. And I know you can't judge a book by the cover unless the cover's really bad, and then you pretty well know, huh? And anyway, she ran up to me and she said, "These are my boys." I said, "Yeah, they're great boys." And she said, "I'm a Baptist." She wanted me to know right off the bat, I'm not Pentecostal. I'm Baptist. And my mind is, and I just, been cordial. I said, "Well, I know some good Baptists." "Do who?" She put me on the spot. And first one I could think of was John. And so I said, "John." She said, "John who?" I said, "John the Baptist." And so she rolled her eyes and walked off, and I said, "Whoo, barely got out of that one, huh?" But I'm going to tell you, it don't matter if you're Baptist. You got to be holiness to go to heaven. I'm not saying belong to my church. Are you hearing me? Hey, Amen. That's right. We've got to have the love of God. You say, "Well, you mean that somebody maybe?" Hey, if Jim Gallus can get saved, amen, at a Van Halen concert, I believe people can get saved at a Baptist church. Are you taping this, Nate?
This is going on the internet. He's going to get me locked up. Did y'all know that?
An old lady in the church down there, and she's real feeble. She couldn't come to church one night, and she said, "Now listen, I listen to you on the internet. Hope she's listening today. May the Lord bless you and send you tithes and offerings." No, I'm just kidding. But she's listening today. She told me, "Sister Helen," she said, I listen to every sermon on that internet. You need to stay closer to that mic." That's what she told me. So here I am, standing close to this mic. Amen. I'm going to talk to us about, amen, the horrible consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Amen. If I was smart enough and took the time to study it out, I could show you every false doctrine in this world, and it'll point back to the fact that they reject Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you listening to me? They reject the Lordship and the Messiahship, amen, of the Son of God. Come on now, help me preach a little bit. Amen. We can't. Now listen, in our lives, here's what I want to preach to us. In our lives, is Christ the Messiah? Is he the Lord of our life? Is he King of our hearts? Does he have that preeminent position in our life? Here's where we get in trouble. Amen. We'll accept him as a part of our life, but we don't accept him, amen, as the chief cornerstone of our life. Other things in our lives are just as vital as he is. Some things more vital. Amen. You know, one thing that drives a pastor nuts is trying to, when the world, as worldly as the world is today, and the perversion and the filth that people expose themselves to, trying to keep people's clothes on them and keep their affections away from that filth. You say, "Well, brother, yeah, that is a challenge of the pastor in the pulpit in this hour." Amen. Are you listening to me? Do you want me? And then when you talk about media, the social media, I don't even understand all that stuff. I'm against it, I guess, if it's wrong. If it's not, then I'm not. Amen. I don't know a whole lot about it. But I do know this. Young people and old people alike have a very sensitive access to any kind of evil that they can imagine at the click of a mouse. How many understands what I'm talking about? You say, "Well, brother, we just need to sack all that stuff up and burn it." I'm going to tell you something. Amen. That'd be fine with me. I don't think I'd miss it anywhere, hardly. Not hardly anywhere. It's not going to happen. Brother Bob. Amen. It's not going to happen. So what are you preaching? I'm going to preach this. And you need to get this. Amen. If we can get our people, you and I and our kids, if we can get their hearts sold out to Jesus Christ, you won't have to track them into their bedroom to see if they're into evil things or not. Is that right or not? I believe parents ought to be superintendents. But that's not going to save them if Christ is not, if they reject his authority. Help me preach a little. If they reject the authority, you know where it works out at? Hey, and listen, I can spend my time busting their hide and preaching on their television, preaching on their movies, preaching on their rock and roll music, and they listen to it. You know, hey, all you got to do is take a little trip with them and just listen at them talk, casual talk. Listen to what's on their cell phone. Y'all not helping me preach. Hey, but you know what we're battling against? And I want to tell you, that old rotten music will corrupt their spirit just like what I listened to corrupted mine when I got saved. But I'll tell you, when it's played everywhere you can imagine, and even so-called Christian radio stations have stuff on there. Amen. Are you listening to me preach? Amen. I want to tell you something here this morning. Amen. The key to our holiness and our sanctified living is not just busting their hide from the pulpit and them covering it up and dropping their head and shifting their eyes, but get them to this altar where they pray through to Jesus. How many thinks I'm preaching right to you this morning? Everybody don't think I'm preaching right to you? How many thinks I'm preaching right to you this morning? Now it's evil communications corrupt, and this is not my message this morning, but evil communications corrupt good manners every time. And the key to the life of our church and the life of our society and our culture is that they do not reject the truth of Jesus Christ. Not just that we claim him as our Savior, but he's got to be Lord of our life. Amen. It's awful quiet in here. Y'all tighten down on me for some reason or another, but I'm telling you the truth. Am I telling you the truth or not? How many believes I'm telling you the truth? Amen. That's right. And it'll come back to bite you. And so Christ has got to be more than just another book on the shelf. He's got to be the book on the shelf. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now here's the consequence of the rejection of the rock. Amen. The Bible said, he that falleth upon the stone is broken. He the stone falls upon, ground to powder. That sounds like the judgment of God to me, does it you? That's what Christ said. Is that what Christ said? Amen. He said, this rock, help me, Jesus. I want you to lift your hands right here and ask God to help me. Help me preach this right. We're in a desperate hour. We've got to have the truth. Amen. Now, finally, they got Brother Mitch down to this point, and these chief priests realize he's talking about us. He pointed it right down. That's what this church, that's what we need to realize, every one of us. When the message goes forward, amen, we got to realize that is for us. That's for me. He's talking about me. If I sin, if I do wrong, I'm going to be ground to powder. I'm going to be broken by this rock. Amen. Are you listening to me, preach? We're not going to escape. You know, if you ever noticed, and you may not have noticed this, but if you ever noticed that sometimes a standard will be held and believed until it gets to your own family, and then it changes? You may have never noticed that. But I've noticed that if it's dear to someone's heart, sometimes this is tough, isn't it? But sometimes if it's dear to the heart, or I've noticed this, and God help me, I want y'all to pray for me here. As I get older here pastoring this church, I've noticed older, sometimes as you grow older, and instead of, and you're not wanting nobody to leave the church or hurt anybody's feelings, hey, and so you just water things down and overlook things. So, hey, that ain't gonna work. Can somebody say that ain't gonna work? You're gonna have to tell the truth. Amen, because here it is, the judgment of God. I wish somebody would say amen, the judgment of God. Oh, I wish you'd help me preach. Amen, is against sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If we reject the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One, we reject His Word and the life that He calls us to, amen, then the rock of His judgment will grind us. We don't like to hear that, do we? When's the last time you heard a message on hell? You don't hear them very often, do you? The judgment of sin. When's the last time, amen, we've just heard somebody pull out a blue ribbon message on and pull the clothesline out and preach on all the worldly stuff people's doing? Very rare, isn't it? It's love and prosperity, and God loves you, and God cares, and God's there, and God loves you like you are, and come just like you are, and amen, God loves you, and God still loves you, and do what you want, and God's going to save you, and God's not going to suffer you to be lost, and God, but I'm going to tell you, there's a side of the rock, when it comes rolling out of the mountain, it's going to crush every nation on the earth that does not honor God. Can you say amen? How many knows there's a judgment against sin this morning? There's a result and a consequence to the rejection of the Spirit of Christ in our life. Am I right? Let's stand. God bless you. Oh, it's so true. God, give us grace this morning. In the offering, I want us to pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we realize that the word of the Lord is so true. And God, this world has rejected Christ as the chief cornerstone. But that doesn't change his authority. That doesn't change his power over us. And that doesn't change the fact that he'll be our judge in the end. And God, we ask you to help us live humbly before you. Plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, to partake of his holiness. God, that we can be sanctified. Meat for the master's use. God, these vices and these sins that, Lord, our children are tempted with. Help us, God, preach the gospel to them. Lord, and call sin, sin. And help them, God, to get a love for Christ in their heart. Lord, where they'll want to do right. And God, even in the dark or even in the privacy of their lives. God, I pray for our elders that are, Lord, here in their elder years. And God, that devil is tempting them. Oh, God, to reject you as the authority of their life and live their life under the authority of the world. God, I ask you to turn them back to Christ this morning, back to his authority, back to his supreme Lord, his preeminence over all, and help us worship you, even in the service tonight, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.